This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us as we continue along on Sports Map Radio. I'm glad I get to give back today. Yesterday I was sick and I was under the weather, but goodness gracious, it's always good to come back to breaking news to start your morning, but it's news we were familiar with because we did this last year. At about this time, we had Tom Brady announce his retirement from the NFL, and we did all the accolades, and we went through all of the, you know, looking back on a great career and looking back on all the memories and what made him so special and why we'll never see it again and remembering the time when he emerged on the scene. And we did it all. We did it all. The Tuck rule, the win against the Rams, the wins against the Eagles and the wins against Carolina, and all the Super Bowls and winning in Tampa Bay. Only to find out later that there was this sort of plan in place where he would end up going to the Miami Dolphins. So now he is retiring, and he doesn't do so on a farewell ceremonial podium. He does it with a video, and he brings it to the attention of the Buccaneers at 6 o'clock this morning, Eastern time. He does a video. It's an emotional video, and he announces that he's done. And skepticism is going to pop up naturally when you've sort of done this before. Now, I've gone back and forth in the early processing of this news that I just got less than an hour ago. And I'm going to lean towards it being authentic. I think Brady understands a couple of things. And one thing I think he understands really, really well is his brand. There are athletes who don't care about their brand. But I think Tom Brady has always cared about his brand. And I think Tom Brady understands that you can do this once, but you can't do it a second time. And I also think he's wise enough, because he was in the league at the time, to know that Brett Favre, as great of a quarterback as he was, sort of became a running joke about retirement. That he messed around with that announcement and that emotion too many times. And I think Brady is smart enough to know that he's as big of a, wants to have a big brand outside of football. He's produced a movie that is coming out, you know, 80 for Brady. He's got his feet and tentacles in a number of other things that he wants the public to consume. He wants to get into announcing, and he wants to be a reputable announcer. And I think he understands that if you mess around with the emotion of football, that people sort of get cynical about you. It's what happened to Brett Favre. And I don't think he is going to say that, I changed my mind a couple of weeks later. I've always said, I give people and athletes the benefit of the doubt on this all the time. If you retire and you want to come back, it's none of my business and it is not my issue if you decide to change your mind. I'm just a consumer of the product. I make a living talking about it, but I'm also a fan of it. So I have no say in your life. I can't demand you stay retired. You want to play again? Play again. It's also an impossible decision to make at times because it's permanent when you retire. You can go back, but for the most part, most people retire, it's permanent. And that's it. And you'll not play. And you've heard this many times from football players. There's no place to do it. Right? Like you can go to the gym and play basketball if you're a retired NBA player. Golfers never retire. Baseball players, yeah, you might be able to be a coach. You know, throw some batting practice, whatever. But the NFL is a different beast. You don't get to play it again. You don't get to hit again. You don't get to get hit again. You don't get to throw a touchdown pass again. There's no place that you can just go to the beach and play football on that level and that in that same way. No, you're done. So I don't mind a player changing their mind. I don't have a problem with it. But I know that the public does. And I think Brady goes, I did it once. I can't do it again. If I do it again, the things that I want the public to consume as I go into the second phase of my career, they're just going to look at me as the guy that could never give it up. I do think, though, that when you look back on this season, he gave up everything. He's got a split family now. And if we're going to believe the sort of tabloidism of this that covered this story, we're being led to believe that it was just because he wanted to play football and Giselle didn't want him to play football and they couldn't come together on that. Now, I don't know. I'm not in the guy's marriage. I have no idea if there's 100 other things that was involved in their relationships. None of my business. But if I am buying that that's what happened, then he lost his wife. He's in a split family. He sees his kids when he can see his kids, rather than going home to see them every day. Just to play this 1 year, to go after one more title. And I think Brady is smart. If indeed this is it, I think he's smart. Because while he played at a pretty good level this year, the Buccaneers were terrible. Now, he can go and play for the 49ers. He can go play in a number of teams. But I think this was an eye-opening situation for Brady where he said, you know what? What was I doing it for? Again, this is just my speculation. What was I doing it for? You've heard me say over and over again that a lot of these guys, a lot of these teams, the regular season is just an obstacle to get through to get to where they were last emotionally. The Bills to get back to the playoffs because 13 seconds was just too long. The Buccaneers to get back into the playoffs because, you know, we almost overcame that good start by the Rams and we got back into a game we were losing pretty badly. And then Cooper Kupp makes a catch and then we're out. Let's get back to that. Let's fix that. Oh, we do have to go through 17 games, but can we get back to that? And I think it was eye-opening for Brady this season to play on a team where 8-9 was as good as it was going to get. And as we've said many times, the Buccaneers weren't 8-9 and they were one time in some point in the season really good. And then the wheels fell off with a bunch of injuries. The Buccaneers were never really good. And even in the games that they won, we were looking for nuggets of play where we went, now I think if they just bottle that for the next couple of games, they'll win. Never saw that with the Buccaneers. And I think Brady realizes, okay, I'm competitive, but I've also got to be realistic. Do I want my legacy to be 23 years in the NFL, 7 Super Bowl championships, 5 Super Bowl MVPs, but do I want it to be in the last few years, struggling on bad teams or looking around for a place to land and knowing some want me, some don't, and I'm just looking for a place? I think he went, you know what? I'm not going to go through another one of these to go 8-9 again, to come up short again. I don't think it's a statement on his skills. But I think it's a realization that you just can't plug me in and win a Super Bowl anymore. And I don't want to go through everything to come up short again. I think for Brady, the joy of playing football is the joy of winning. People don't play football just to lose. I think it was to win. And I think he looked around and said, I don't think there's going to be a lot of winning here. And that may be the case. He could be just simply tired. I mean, there might be a more simplistic answer to this. Maybe he wants to get involved in the other things that he's doing with his life. But the reality of it is whether or not you believe this, that's the sad part of it. Because we did it once before, and I don't think we want to do it again yet. When somebody of his stature announces their retirement, we want to feel like there's a finality to it so we can put in perspective all the accomplishments. And when you burn us like last year, where it wasn't a change of mind, where we were finding little clues as the offseason was progressing, that it wasn't as simple as a man going, I'm done. Thanks for everything. I'm leaving. I love you all. Thanks to my teammates. Thanks to the fans. Thanks to all the coaches. Thanks to everybody who believed in me. And meanwhile, there was this sort of 3D chess that was going on with the Dolphins and being a part owner and playing for the Dolphins. And it was all a mess. And then with Bruce Arians gets moved up, and people were thinking there was a conspiracy that he would play for the Buccaneers, but only if Bruce Arians wasn't on the sideline. There was all sorts of just everybody was coming with different arrows. That's what happened last year. So you're going to have to forgive a lot of people if they sit back and go, I don't yet believe this. And that's fine. Me, I'm leaning towards putting my own pieces together and sort of saying, I think this is for real. But the thing is I'm not going to come out and say, I think it's definitely for real. But I do honestly think that this was emotional enough. And to me, outside of just getting under center again and flinging some passes, I don't think we're looking at a guy that is going to be on a team next year, unless it's the Niners, and that's a Super Bowl level team. That's my only thought. And if you're the Niners, you want to go forward with two young guys that can take you to the future. All right, we'll talk more about this, but we also got some other NFL news to get to. This is obviously the biggest story of the morning. Sean Payton is the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. DeMeco Ryans is the new head coach of the Houston Texans. Of course, we're getting ready to head to Arizona for the Super Bowl and all the hype that will happen over the next week. But we'll get into the Tom Brady. Your thoughts on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Thanks for to the VSiN boys for filling in for me yesterday. That was a game time decision yesterday. I woke up, I'm like, oh, I can't talk. Yep. And then I started talking, I was like, I really can't talk. So bear with me. I'm still struggling with it today, but if I can get through it and I feel fine, I'm going to try to get through it. I'm one of those guys. If I really, really can't talk, then I take the day off. But glad I was back today for this breaking news about Tom Brady.
That was crazy.
That was nuts.
It's just, you know, just sitting here.
I was watching a panel show this morning, and they just had to break it on set. It was one of these panel shows on ESPN.
Yeah.
And they were just talking. Is Sean Payton going to be the man, or is Russell Wilson? Wait a minute. Hold on. Tom Brady just retired. Let's dump this dumb topic.
I'm all prepared to talk NFL coaches. Like, oh, look, the Broncos settled.
Yeah. Let's talk again if Dak Prescott's job's on the line.
Yeah.
Let's break that down. Is Aaron Rodgers going to stay in Green Bay? Oh, wait. Hold on one second. Ooh, Tom Brady is announcing his retirement.
Yep, and we're set for the day.
And we're swapping this thing around. Exactly. But you know what? We did this last year. Tom Brady has done it to this show three times in the last 4 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
Meaning this. We were on the air one morning. We were doing mornings, and we did a three-hour show, and we stayed on an extra hour because of the announcement that Tom Brady was going to the Buccaneers.
Right.
Right? And that was just as COVID was a problem. It was in March. Because I remember we were kind of joking that sports is shutting down, so Brady just kind of goes, yeah, not yet. We'll give you something to talk about while everybody is shutting sports down around the country.
That was way back when we were making jokes like, yeah, you know what? Catching COVID would be a good thing.
Yeah, catching COVID. 2 week break. Well, it's nothing but, exactly.
2 week vacation, not bad.
Yeah, exactly. And then last year, Brady did it again. He did it right before the Super Bowl. We did all the accolades, jumped up and down and cheered. And now he's doing it again with his second retirement. So announcing he was going to the Bucs and two retirement announcements coming around the same time, within about a month or so of the, you know, three of the last 4 years. That's crazy. But do you buy this? I mean, I gave my reasoning. Do you buy this? Or are you holding on to? We'll see.
I want to believe him. I do. I want to believe that this is it, that he looked at it and just said, you know, just like what you said, an 8-9 Buccaneers team that was not very good, and he didn't have the enough stuff to make the team better, to get the team like those 3 or 4 extra wins. He just doesn't have that in him anymore, and I think he realized that. However, I can't help but feel like if the right situation comes along that he's gone.
Yeah.
But the thing is I know everyone was pointing at the Raiders. Oh, he could go to the Raiders and hook up with Josh McDaniels. They need a quarterback. There's weapons, blah, blah, blah. Brady is a smart man. He knows that the path to the playoffs, just the playoffs, is not through the AFC.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, right, is that he's got to be a realist when it comes to where he is. And you know what? He was third in the NFL in passing, and he had a pretty good statistical year. But I think he also has to realize, look, if I'm in it for the Super Bowls, I have to want to come back knowing that the path is really, really tough. And I've got to be okay with it not ending up in a Super Bowl. So if I won a Super Bowl, where would I go to be easier? Now, before anybody says, oh, all these guys are competitive, they think they can beat. Yeah, they do, but they're also smart. They have to be smart. What would you – everybody in business does this. Look, if you think you make the best hamburgers in the fast food business, you still strategically put yourself in a position to be number one without necessarily trying to say, look, I don't have to go head-to-head with everybody. I still think I'm the best that I can do it, but strategically and business-wise, I'm going to do it this way. I think Brady's smart to say, look, the NFC is a little easier path. The AFC has got a lot of landmines.
Yep.
I need a team. I just had a good statistical year. My team didn't even get to 500. So I better be careful where I go.
And, you know, he's not going to be reserved to a backup role.
Yeah. Now, do you believe that today it's sincere?
Yes.
Okay, because that's a different question, right?
Right. I believe today is sincere. We see this with pro athletes all the time where they take a step back and then they realize, like, God, you know, I mean, it was Brett Favre, 101.
Right. Exactly.
Right? Favre would retire and then he wouldn't join the team till like mid-August.
Right. And that's what I was saying earlier. Like, I think if you're Brady, do you want to be the way people were treating Brett Favre? Do you want everything you've ever done in this league to become, well, he can't make up his mind whether he wants to retire or not. I mean, I remember that. People took it personally, and there was nothing reason to take it personally. Like, people were angry at Brett Favre for coming back. Now, again, a lot of it was just, we as fans, we get these emotional, you know, hey, look, I'm sad. He's leaving. He meant so much. And then they kind of toy around with that. And then they want you to do it again for them. And then they want you to do it again for them. And you do reach a point where you go, I'm not doing it anymore. We already did it once. I poured out my fan heart in appreciation for what you meant. And you just kept saying, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I got to a point where I said, whenever, leave whenever you want. And I don't think Brady wants to have that. So I believe today it's sincere, but I think you're right. There's going to be an itch that's going to come. He's got to fight that itch. But I think people last year went, wait, there was some feelings of.
All right, I got another cog in the wheel if you want. Do you think he's retiring now before the Super Bowl? Because doesn't he have a hey, when you're ready to become an analyst from Fox? Isn't Fox worse than the one that gave him that,
yep,
that 300?
Yep, sure.
Fox is.
Is
carrying the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, he's definitely going to be a part of something.
So do you think there was a little bit of him like, hey, man, we might throw a little bit more on top of this for you to be a studio analyst on Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, well, they could have brought him in anyway.
True. No,
playing.
That's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they could have, like, he could still be playing and they could
that's
still
true.
Say, hey, Brady,
why don't you sit in studio? You just shot that theory down.
Yeah, right? But, I mean, I think for him, like I was saying at the top of the hour, I think he's got a lot of things that he wants the public to consume. He's not going away quietly, right? He wants to be an analyst. He wants to produce movies. He wants to have an image of something like, oh, Tom Brady's behind that. I'm interested. And so I think he's got to be very careful with, I'm coming back, you know, whatever. So that's why I think today is very sincere. It's, you know what? He did this to himself. This should be a day of talking about all the wonderful games and what he was to this league. But I know people can't help themselves but wonder, hey, I'll believe it when I hear it. You know, and that's too bad. It's too bad because when Peyton Manning announced his retirement, I knew he was over. I knew he was done because we all saw the progress to Super Bowl 50. He wasn't the same quarterback. Right, he had suffered a hip injury. His arm was not the same. He managed games in the playoffs really well. The defense really carried them. He didn't have any turnovers until the Super Bowl. I think he had the turnover in the Super Bowl. But en route to the Super Bowl, he didn't have any turnovers. So he wasn't the Manning of old. So when he did announce his retirement, you weren't saying, he'll come back, because you didn't see a physical body that was capable of playing at the NFL level. I always thought that's how I would see Tom Brady. That Brady would find the right moment in time where he gave you everything he had. You kind of wondered if he'd come back, but he knew and you knew it was unlikely because he didn't look the same. People have argued against that. People have said, no, I think Brady is smart enough to leave the game on the highest level that he can. He would leave the game with a little more in the tank, where you would say, wow, even at 45, he was this. But I always thought it was the other way around. That's just me. I always thought it was the other way around. I always thought that Brady was the kind of quarterback that said, look, I know I can't do it forever, so while I'm doing it, let me do it until I absolutely can't do it anymore, because I'm never going to get it back. That's how I always viewed that. A guy that finished, what, third in the NFL in passing? He's still got some gas in the tank. But I also think he looked at his Buccaneer teams, I'm not doing this again. I'm not going 8-9, barely making the playoffs. I won't do that. I can't. So to me, it seemed like kind of the right decision. All right, we'll talk more about Brady as the show continues. We'll play his announcement and get a feeling for it. It's the big news of the morning. We also got other news of the morning. Sean Payton to Denver, D'Amico Ryans to Houston. It's all coming up as Sports Map Radio continues. It's Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday. Busy NFL Wednesday.
Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, here's the Tom Brady video that appeared this morning. He notified the Buccaneers at 6 o'clock this morning that he was retiring, and then put out a social media video. Before we get to that, this is the new thing, right? Control your own media. It's pretty great that you have people like, hey, I'm doing it on my own Instagram, I'm doing it on my own social media page. Before I stand up at the podium, I'm going to tell people ahead of time. And Brady did exactly that. Here is the emotional goodbye that he had this morning.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. You only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Going 8-9, you wouldn't change that? I'm sorry. Was that too soon? My apologies. No, that was, I think there's an emotion there that I think fits the moment. And again, that's why I said at the top of the hour, I think that he understands, like, don't play around with this. Don't play around with this. If you're sure, you're sure. If that's it, right? If you know, you know. But again, I don't doubt that something could come down the road that makes him change his mind again. Like, do we even know the last year Michael Jordan played in the NBA? Can you name the last year?
No.
I can't. I have no idea. I know I went to see him play with the Wizards 2002, I think. And when I was in Denver, the Wizards were coming in. I'm like, yeah, I'll go to that game. I went to that game. I don't remember anything. I just remember him just sort of disappearing. I remember him making an announcement the first time, played baseball, the second time, came back. That's it. But you know what? I remember John Elway. I remember Peyton Manning. I remember Andrew Luck. Right? Brady, this one, if this sticks, this will be it. This will be the memory. This will be the, remember the Instagram video that he did where he said goodbye. We'll see. 23 years, you shouldn't be able to play in the NFL that long. It's amazing. It's not built. It's a league not built. Even when you're a quarterback to play 23 years, it's remarkable.
The thing is, it's just not 23 years too. It's all the other stuff that goes with it.
Yeah. It's not like, a kicker does it for two decades, yeah. Right? I mean, but a quarterback is not supposed to be slinging it in the playoffs at 45 years old. It's really remarkable. The Super Bowls are insane to process. They really are.
I mean, this is almost like a guarantee. Well, I don't know. I can't guarantee it anymore because Mahomes is on this pace, but he has playoff postseason records that are untouchable.
I agree.
But I say that, but then I'm looking at Mahomes and going,
cooking. Yeah, Mahomes is cooking pretty good. But again, we've said it so many times about the Patriots, just the Patriots part of it. That's not how the league is designed. It's not supposed to be 20-year dominance. You know, I've given the Bills and the Dolphins and the Jets a lot of grief for those 20 years for not putting together a team that could give the Patriots a fight. But in a lot of ways, in the same breath, who did give? It wasn't like there was a fight. Right, the Colts took a shot. The Steelers took a shot. Most of them ended up failing. Right, we like to think that there were these mano a mano matchups, but there really weren't. Right, I mean, they really weren't. There wasn't a team. There wasn't a Joker to the Batman. There wasn't a Spectre to the James Bond. There was always Brady getting everybody's best shot, and for the most part, getting through their best shot. The Patriots, the Steelers went to 3 Super Bowls in the Brady Patriot era. Let's put the Buccaneers thing aside because that's kind of a separate chapter. But in the time that Tom Brady was a Patriot, the Steelers went to 3 Super Bowls. The Steelers didn't have to go through New England one time. That's the only real reason they went to those Super Bowls, because they didn't have a team that could beat New England. Every time the Steelers would play the Patriots in the Super Bowl, they lost. Peyton Manning had a devil of a time with the Colts before finally kicking in a win where they went to the Super Bowl, then a couple of wins against the Patriots in the playoffs when he was with the Broncos. But for the most part, there never really was a team that was on there wasn't a deep rival. And that's not the way this league is built. The league is designed that you get a window of about 3 to 4 years, you win your titles. And to be honest with you, that's what kind of people thought about the Patriots when they won the 3 out of 4. I'm like, okay, but then other teams get better. You're picking late in the draft. Other teams are going to develop talent. That's the way it's going to be. And the Patriots had a system where Bill Belichick found the right players and the right people, and Brady was at the centerpiece of all of it, being the most clutch player in the game. And the most efficient player in the game. And always striving to be excellent. And so, it's again, I can't say you'll never see it again, because I think Patrick Mahomes might be onto something, but it's so early. You don't know. Patrick Mahomes hasn't even hit 30 yet. And we don't know what the 30s will bring. And we don't know what the level of competition in the AFC is going to bring. Because when Brady was in his 20s and he was going to Super Bowls, he just continued it on. Right? He just they disappeared from the postseason for a while, and then they went back. Then they wouldn't be in the Super Bowl for a little bit, and then they'd be back. He orchestrated one of the greatest comebacks in Super Bowl history, right? He had two last-second drives that led to game-winning field goals on the first two, right? And the losses that he had in the Super Bowl were monumental for the organizations that did it. It's made Eli Manning a Hall of Fame debate because he beat the Patriots twice. It changed the Eagles, right? It allowed the Eagles organization to say, we've got a Super Bowl under our belt. We now can do things that we think are going to give us another one. We've got a little currency here, right? There were monumental wins. Malcolm Butler catching an interception in the end zone. And again, the Adam Vinatieri field goals. But in the end, it was always this guy that was up on the podium collecting yet another trophy. And now we get into the last chapter of the story. There's this impending divorce that's coming between player and coach and player and organization. A player that is just wanting to see if he can leave and do something on his own. Maybe just tired of the narrative about coach and player formulating this gigantic dynasty. And maybe there was a feeling of, well, it was a little bit more me than people realize. And maybe if I go somewhere else, people will see it. Or maybe it was just me and this coach, 20 years is a long time to be together. And while we get along and functions, working together has been tough. Goes to Tampa. And it was such a smart move. It was such a smart move. It was a team that was built so well, but it had a quarterback at the time that threw interceptions all over the place and looked around. Look at the weapons. And by the way, I'll add Gronk. I got some things here. And they won a Super Bowl in his first year. And I wondered at that Super Bowl how many people in America were rooting for him who spent 20 years rooting against him. Because the story of an older statesman winning something has always appealed to the American public. This is what they make movies out of, right? They make movies out of the aging athlete getting one last shot at glory. The Rocky movies later on were based on that, right? Kevin Costner baseball movie was based on that. What was it, Love of the Game?
Yeah.
There's always... There have been plenty of sports movies where it was the older guy grasping at a last shot of a championship. And so we've been sort of conditioned as a sports culture to root for that story, not to root for the young 20-something kid who's building his own dynasty in Kansas City. So when we got to Super Bowl 55, I thought most of America had spent 20 years rooting against the guy because he had it too good. And now I think they were rooting for him because it was one more chapter on a story that we'll never see again. When we come back, we'll get to the coaching hires, Sean Payton and D'Amico Ryans. Did the Broncos settle on Sean Payton? And what's going to happen in Denver? And how good of a hire is D'Amico Ryans? We'll talk about all that next as we continue. But a lot of talk this morning on the retirement of Tom Brady for the second time.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, so a lot this morning on Tom Brady and the retirement announcement. We'll get back to that. But the other big news in the NFL was Sean Payton finalizing a deal to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos. And then the Houston Texans have made D'Amico Ryans, who was a red-hot candidate. Now they've made him the new head coach in Houston. So the question is, did the Broncos settle for Sean Payton?
Sure feels like it.
Sure does. All right, I'm gonna tell a personal story. So years ago, when I was in my early 30s, I applied for a job in a market, and I got a phone call asking if I wanted to interview for the job. But the guy that was the recruiter for that job said, we already kind of have a candidate for this, but we saw your resume. We're really intrigued in talking to you. So I said, sure, even though I went on the plane knowing I wasn't getting the job. But a career advisor said, no, it's a good thing. Go interview. You always want to make contacts in the business. And sure enough, the people I interviewed with, I'm still, you know, kind of friendly with today. But it was just one of those things where I went in, you know, I said, listen, I know you've got somebody else. Now, if they had called me up and said, you know what, we're going to offer you the job, I'd feel like their first guy didn't take it, right? Like they were leaning in on this one candidate. He didn't take it. So we're settling on you, right? I was one of three people that was the finalist. So I was the third guy. So it wouldn't have reached that. But here's how the Sean Payton story went. Sean Payton interviews with the Broncos. The Broncos make a trip to Ann Arbor to meet with Jim Harbaugh again. Now, the Broncos say, no, that's just a formality. That's what we wanted to do anyway. He had said no, he was committed to Michigan, but we did it by Zoom. We had our first meeting by Zoom. We just wanted to go, you know, dot some I's and cross some T's. Whatever that meant. I think when a guy says no, he says no. You don't have to go to their house. And then D'Amico Ryans is, he's playing in the NFC Championship game with the Niners. He's coaching the Niners. And the Niners are done. And there's a report that the Broncos are making D'Amico Ryans their number one target. But D'Amico Ryans tells the Broncos he's not interested in their job. And he takes the Texans' job. And then they say, we have Sean Payton. Now, Ron, did any of that give you any indication that the Broncos' number one guy was Sean Payton?
No.
Right? Right. It doesn't. Right. So don't sell me on he was the first, second, and third choice of the organization. Remember, you interviewed him. Then you went to Ann Arbor. When was the last time somebody, when you said, hey, Acme Widget Company, I'm not interested. Thank you. And they went, yeah, but you know what? We're going to come to your house anyway and try to talk to you. I already said I wasn't interested. I know, but we got paperwork to fill out. We have to make sure. Don't worry about it. It's our private jet. Don't worry. It's okay. It's not on you. We'll come to you to fill out paperwork. What are we talking about here? Right? And then they're trying to sell the Bronco Nation that Sean Payton was the guy. Now, here's where the dynamic is going to shift. It is now Sean Payton's team. This is it. There's no more Russell Wilson running the show on a first-year head coach. This is going to be Sean Payton's team. So we're going to see how that dynamic works. And the other thing is, if you're the Broncos, I was wondering about this process. D'Amico Ryans was, as I said at the top of this segment, he was red hot as a candidate. I mean, red hot. I think the Texans are in great hands. The Texans had the worst run defense in the league last year. Pass defense wasn't bad. The run defense was terrible. And D'Amico Ryans is going to try to fix all of that. He was a red hot candidate. Everybody wanted D'Amico Ryans. But could the Broncos really afford another first-year head coach? Now, again, I'm all for giving guys their first. I'm not a veteran. I mean, look, everyone that's a veteran head coach was a first-time head coach at some point. So that's how you get veteran coaches to go to the pool and pick out when you want a veteran coach. If you're Jacksonville and you want to go with a more experienced guy in Doug Peterson, then let's say trying out Byron Leftwich or trying to convince Nathaniel Hackett that Jacksonville's a better place than Denver, fine. If you're Denver, you've already done the whole thing with Vic Fangio and Vance Joseph and Nathaniel Hackett. Why not go get we've done it. I mean, right, you know, every now and then you get a Sean McVay, you get a Nick Sirianni that comes out of the gate and they start winning you games and starts giving you, you know, you're getting to Super Bowls. But a lot of times you end up with Nathaniel Hackett, Vic Fangio, and Vance Joseph, guys that are continuing the ineptitude of the franchise. So now you have Sean Payton, who, let's make no bones about this, one of the main reasons we love Sean Payton as a head coach, I'll say it, because Drew Brees was his quarterback. I mean, he's a fine coach. He's a Bill Belichick disciple, all of those things. But one of the main reasons that he had all the success he had is because he paired up with Drew Brees, one of the greatest quarterbacks to play in our generation. He's got Russell Wilson. And his job is going to have to be to fix Russell Wilson. And that, to me, is going to be an interesting dynamic. Because how much of last year was on Nathaniel Hackett? How much? I mean, in the end, the quarterback's got to play. Quarterback's got to do it. But we saw Russell Wilson play a lot better in the last two games when Jerry Roethlisberger was running the team. So now if you're Sean Payton, you're going to come in, you're going to know the weapons that you have, you're going to know the tools that you have. But I agree with a lot of pundits from yesterday that were saying, if you're Sean Payton, you had a lot of options. This wasn't the team you had to take if you wanted to get back to being a head coach. Right? I mean, we talked about this leading up to this decision. Sean Payton was on Fox. He was playing golf. He was living in Southern California. He was retired. Money in the bank. Free to travel. Free to do whatever you want. Of course there's an itch to coach. I'm not saying that that's where he was going to stay. But when you have those options, what makes you want to get into a division with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes? Especially what if Peyton finds out that Russell Wilson doesn't have it anymore? What do you do? Like, in all seriousness, that's your quarterback for the next couple of years. You're going to be hard. You're going to be hamstrung on some draft picks. You're going to be hamstrung on a lot of ways to manipulate your money. Russell Wilson's going to eat up a lot of it. And if you in the first year go, you know what, this guy is a good quarterback, but his days of greatness are behind him, that's what you're stuck with. Is it enticing? Yeah, it's a little enticing. Denver's got a great fan base. And having lived in Colorado, I love the state. I love the city. I miss it. I miss living out there. But at the same time, I'd want to go into a situation where, again, strategically, I'm in the best position to get my team some success. The Broncos haven't beaten the Chiefs since Peyton Manning was their quarterback. Right? Justin Herbert and the Chargers are going to be good. We don't know what the Raiders may be. But the Broncos are trying to go from 4-11 to taking the AFC West from Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. In what period of time? A year? 2 years? Wouldn't that be remarkable? Right? I mean, it would be incredible if they were able to do that. And Sean Payton is looking at this going, yeah, that can be done. But again, Russell Wilson had 16 touchdowns. He was sacked a lot, right? It was an offense that averaged 14 points per game until the last couple of games of the season. They finished 5-12, so that was their record. They were 4-11 before they lost to Nathaniel Hackett was 4-11. And Jerry Roethlisberger went 1-2 in the final two games of the year. But Wilson finished a little better, but that's what you're getting. You're getting a good defense. That's very good. You're getting a good defense. But I don't think the Broncos were an attractive landing spot for a guy that had options. You know who don't have a lot of options? Guys who are going into the league being first-year head coaches. Some of them aren't like D'Amico Ryans, who was getting a tremendous amount of accolades as a potentially great head coach. Some of them are like, no, I'll take that chance. I'll go there. Start somewhere. Sean Payton had options, real options. And I don't know if this is the best landing spot. And I know this. I know no matter how much they sell it, this was not the Broncos' number one choice. I think their number one choice said no to them and is now the head coach of the Houston Texans. All right, hour two coming up next as we roll along more on the Brady retirement.